Hello, I'm Emily Trushenko. Thank you very much for your interest in my article on fiction reading and eating disorders. I just thought I'd take this opportunity to give you a brief backstory to the paper. So my academic background is in cognitive literary studies, investigating the kinds of reading experiences that are elicited by literary texts. For 10 years, including all my student days, I also had anorexia. And during my recovery, I started writing a blog for the US website Psychology Today, which brought together the science and my personal experience. And as the blog became a more important part of my life, I gradually found myself wondering whether the mental health and the literary studies interests could maybe be brought together in some way. And I started exploring this first with a theoretical article on what I call cognitive realism in Kafka's story, A Hunger Artist, which just happened to also be the title of my blog, because I suddenly had the realization that I'd read this story hundreds of times, but I'd never once noticed that the protagonist, the hunger artist who fasts for other people's entertainment, is never described as feeling hungry, which surely I, of all people, should have noticed. Why hadn't I? Was it significant that I hadn't? Did other people? What were the effects of noticing or not noticing? And then this was around the time that knowledge exchange was starting to become something of a buzzword in academia, the idea being that academic activity, including research and the stuff that happens in the world outside the university, can and should be reciprocally enriching each other. And a friend suggested that I might think about applying for one of the knowledge exchange fellowships that was currently being advertised at Torch, the Oxford Research Centre in the Humanities. I asked myself who does eating disorder stuff beyond academia and thought, well, the charitable sector makes sense. I got in touch with Beat, who are the UK's leading eating disorders charity, and they seemed interested. They seemed to want to expand their research remit, for example. And their research officer, John Kelly, and I then hatched a plan to use an online survey to start investigating people's perceptions of how their reading habits and their mental health interact with a specifically eating disorder focus. And I was completely overwhelmed by the response. Nearly 900 people took the survey, which was not at all a short or a simple survey either. And many of them gave very in-depth elaborations of the reasons they gave their forced choice answers. And this alone, I suppose, made it clear just how much this stuff matters to people. And the results themselves then confirmed that the potential effects of reading on mental health are significant, both positively and negatively. And the more I started to read around the research in this area, the more I understood just what a huge gap there is in our understanding. People think about the usefulness of reading self-help books, and there's quite a bit of systematic research on that, and on the dangers of mass media representations of mostly, you know, female body ideals and how they reinforce body insecurities in viewers. And there's a little bit of work on what's known as creative bibliotherapy, or using fictional or non-therapeutic texts for therapeutic purposes in the case of other mental health conditions, but really next to nothing at the intersection of fiction or poetry or whatever, and disordered eating in particular. And yet at the same time, it also seems to be pretty common for therapists and counsellors and so on to use fiction and memoirs and poetry in small-scale work with their clients. And it's also undoubtedly common, as this survey again confirmed, for people to self-medicate with books as well as the opposite, to make themselves deliberately more ill by reading. In the eating disorder case, we found that this happens typically by people reading books specifically about eating disorders, whether memoirs or fictionalized accounts, to make themselves feel more competitive, to intensify the eating disorder mindset. And this, I have to say, was something of a shock to me because, well, probably not least because the assumption that because it's literature, it must be good for us is really fairly deeply embedded in literary scholarship. That said, though, the potential value of texts that aren't written with therapeutic aims in mind and that probably aren't thematically very close to eating disorders at all does also emerge very clearly in many of the responses, whether it's being cheered up by a book or being distracted enough to do difficult things like eating, or perhaps more than anything else being reminded of the existence of other ways of being. Reading can, in many simple and complex ways, clearly make a difference. So all this together makes a pretty obvious case for investigating what actually happens when people with illnesses like eating disorders read. And it also raises lots of theoretically interesting questions about things like for example, whether being immersed or transported into a fictional world is important in this context, and if so, how, and whether there are important differences between fiction and non-fiction, or prose and poetry, or narrative or discursive texts, and also what the role of features like metaphor might be in mediating between minds and texts, and how feedback dynamics can develop to create vicious circles, or also the potential for breaking them. And I suppose in general, then, also how, just how the interpretations that written texts are making of the world and of human experience might intersect with the meaning-making that we're all doing about our lives every single minute. So this paper tries to give an overview of relevant existing research from the sciences and clinical disciplines and the humanities, and to suggest where it might make sense to go next if we want to understand this all better. So I'm afraid that there are many more questions posed than answers given, but, well, maybe you'll find it fun to think about, as I have. If you want to find out any more about my work, including a new podcast series that I've just launched called Textual Therapies, you can visit my website, trishanko.com. Thank you for your interest, and please do get in touch if you have any thoughts prompted by this or by the article itself. My hope for it really is that it will help galvanise more research, both theoretical and experimental, to get at what's actually going on here, because I think it really matters.